Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast, Finance Committee Meeting, complete recording, January 5, 2016.
Starting down here to my left, roll call for
Joel Fishbein.
Bill England.
Hey, Bracka.
Okay, Brian Malloy, can I get a
second?
Okay. Everybody, okay. The minutes have been approved. All right, let's move right into the...
Is that for adjournment?
you got to hold off on that. You're getting too far ahead of us. Let's move right in with Ms. Michaels with the update on the 2016-2017 budget. It's in your handout. It's also on the board.
I'm going to ask you a point of order. The 15-16.
Oh, you want to go to 15-16?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
You
want to
talk about where the state
is
right now.
So what they approved? Very perfect. I just look
at
what?
Yes. You're not getting any money.
That'll be the shortest part of the meeting.
So I'm going to start with the 15-16 financial update. This is the snapshot that I normally present each month that shows where we stand right now with revenue collection and our expenditures. Right now, we're at about $83.3 million in collection of total revenues. You'll notice that the majority of that is from local sources. The $3.6 million you see in the state is actually the gaming money that was released earlier this year, so that is the only state money. At the time that I did this report that we have received and booked, federal went up slightly. That's because of access funds that were flowing through, but it is only 1.18%. So right now we're about 80% of our collections of total revenues. On the expenditure side, we're at about 45.3% of spend. Again, the bulk of this is benefits and salaries. And I remind you that in June, we will have a payroll that is heavier because of the way that our teachers get paid out. They get paid out a lump sum the last day of June. So it's an equivalent of 5 pays. So benefits and salary to the tune of 5 pays will be paid out in June. Okay?
Superintendent, 5 pays?
No.
You get 5 pays. It's May, June, July.
Okay, so state budget update. The last that I've heard, the information I've been given is that there's a blue line budget. And what that strategy is designed to require further rounds of budget deliberations with the General Assembly. The governor has the power to reduce appropriations but cannot increase them under this guise. In an effort to continue budget deliberations, the governor blue lined, meaning he reduced appropriation amounts of the BEF funding. It was reduced by 55%, which will allow $2.5 billion of the $5.6 that was contained in House Bill 1460 to be distributed to schools. The good and the bad of that. The good, federal funds will be released to districts. Most other K-12 line items will be funded at levels included in the budget bill sent to the governor. Ready to Learn block grant will increase by $50 million from the 1415 allocation to $250 million for the current fiscal year. Pupil transportation went up slightly, and special ed increased by $30 million. The big bad for us after having the facilities meeting is PlanCon reimbursement remains zero out of the budget. The other bad is when will the 15-16 state budget be finalized, and what is in store for the 16-17 state budget? So impact of blue line to state budget on districts and us particularly. During the talk and over actually before the holiday break, I had reported out that we saw in our FAI system that there was pending or status for payment release. So this blue line, what happened was with the blue line budget, you released payment to districts. $3.3 billion went to school districts, counties, and human service organizations. We actually received 5.5 almost $5.9 million today. So that was confirmed. We had 6.1 pending for release to us, so we received 5.9 of that today. So they are releasing funds to the district. So at this point, because they're starting to move stuff, we're starting to get on target. Just a reminder, the state is about 20% of our budget.
Put us at about 9.7 million by the end of this week. We get the other 300,000, or is that?
That'll be coming, I believe it's
by next week.
So
we'll have about half of the funds by next week.
And some of that is federal, because some of the federal funds, the title funds go through the state.
Okay, so that would be incorporated into 557.
Good work, Kara.
Well, why don't we just quick questions on the present budget for the board. Any questions? Okay, public, any questions?
Steve Burns, Wincoat. The $83 million of local collections, what was the cost to the school district to collect that $83 million?
I don't understand.
What do you have to pay to collect that $83 million?
Mean to you?
I don't have that figure off the top of my head, but
you.
$24,750.
Thank you for your service.
Just remember that.
Was any of it held up by the state?
No, all your stuff comes in.
Well, we got 79.7 million. You're still about 3 million short. So okay.
Myron Golden, I can stop. Mm. Kara, I noticed the collection rate's up to 96% so far on the local.
Yes.
Will that have an impact on your next budget? You think you
well,
can?
We have a budget presentation.
All right, sorry.
Myron, sometimes next week we'll have the final numbers on the meetings.
Okay.
Not ready yet.
Okay.
Good. On the present budget. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Rackow.
The plant found money that's being held up. What kind of impact will that have?
Our plant found line item is about $500,000 to $600,000.
And across the board, districts are not dead.
Nobody's dead.
Nobody's dead.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we were lucky because we got old plant found money, which.
Yeah.
Was it 1.7 million?
1.2.
Yeah, what? That was good. It's part of the state's budget.
It doesn't mean it wasn't there. They just had to use it.
And my understanding is from our state representative, there will be no plan con after January. So, like, whatever goes in January, we'll get in the long list of maybe get a few cents, but anything thereafter, they are dismantling the program or just putting it aside.
Cedarbrook did get in, so.
Cedarbrook is in.
Yes.
Any other questions? All right.
You said education was important.
Want to move on to.
Sorry, I'm talking about a little tangent. They're having conversations, who knows if they're going anyways, about revising the whole plan con process. But I have no idea. Who knows if that's even going anyways. Fingers on the dollar amount, revising the whole process and all the documentation.
Oh. Yeah. So it's all up in the air.
Don't count on it.
Okay. I guess we could move right into the budget overview, 16-17.
Yes, don't let the next set of slides kind of intimidate you as you go through them. I did this, and it's not a separate agenda item, but I'm going to go through this very, very quickly. I did this with the board last year, explaining, just kind of giving a 101 primer so that you understand terminology and how information is presented. I presented a certain way because that's the way the state requires it. So I'm going to go through this quickly. You have it in front of you in your packet, so there's just terminology and explanation, so you kind of have a better understanding and familiarity with what terms mean if you're not familiar with the budget process. Okay?
I'm going to add that, what we hopefully we can do is that for those who have those specific questions about that process, we can find some time on the 9th to kind of put it in a parking lot to say, I'd love to learn more about X, Y, and Z. Either as a refresher for those who been on the board or for those who have not been part of the process.
Okay, so the first thing is just going through the budget timeline. key point, September 30th is when the final index rate is released. January 7th was big for us because that was the deadline. We decided to do the opt-out resolution. It had to be adopted by then. We did ours in December. Because we did the opt-out resolution, we're able to pretty much skip down to May 31st when the board really had to start adopting any type of budget. There can be discussions in between. There's some point of order things that I have to follow through on, but as far as the board having to adopt a budget or put it in a format, that will happen at that deadline to adopt the proposed final budget. Act 1 in the index, this just gives some terminology on what it means and why it came to fruition. It tells how it was calculated. For this year, the index is 2.4%. Just to go through the initial budget adoption process, there's three options when you start the initial budget adoption process. Option 1, that's what we did, the opt-out resolution. We basically say that we're not going to go above index, so you don't have to go through the preliminary budget process because you're not requesting exceptions from the state. Option 2 is referendum. Referendum is going out to the public seeking voter approval. Upper Dublin and State College are the only two districts in PA to successfully pass a referendum. Option 3, referendum exceptions. This is going through the preliminary budget phase, which historically the district has done. This allows you to move further and ask the state for exceptions if your budget is above the 2.4% or you expect to go above 2.4%. PDE 2028, that's the budget form that PDE requires us to put our information on and to submit to them during this timeline. Revenues and expenses are reported in categories and subcategories. Revenue categories, and again, I'm not going through all this, just for your information. Revenue categories are classified as local, state, federal, and other. So when you see the snapshot that I do, the big one, you see the local, that's why it is presented that way. Expenditures, and there's a lot of slides here, so I'm going to flip through this because it's a lot of definitions. PDE classifies by fund, function, object, funding source, instructional organization, and operational unit. If you see our number that we use, it is gigantic. The way that you see it and the way it's kind of truncated down is the major categories for the PDE 2028 are function and object. A function, it describes the activities for which a service or material is acquired, and there's five classifications. Instruction, that's direct instruction for students. Examples are teacher salaries and benefits or classroom supplies. Support services, not to be confused with facilities. These are services that provide administrative, technical, and logistical support. Guidance is a good example. Board services is another example. Student transportation. Operation of non-instructional services. This is your student activities, athletics. Facilities acquisition, construction improvement services. Those are capital expenditures that are incurred. And then other expenditures and financing uses. This is the disbursement, this is debt service. That's the biggest one that's in there. Objects, salaries, those are the 100 series. That's self-explanatory. Benefits, same thing. Anything in the 200 series. Purchase property and services. This is if legal services, auditing services, if we bring in a speaker for professional development. Purchase property and services, vehicle repairs, piano tuning, rental, other purchase services. This is student transportation services. This is also charter schools, student placements, supplies. That goes into the Object 600 series. That includes books, classroom supplies, office supplies. 700 series is property. That is the acquisition of computers, laptops, cafeteria tables, furniture, and computer equipment. Object 800 series, this is dues and fees, and then the other big one that you'll see on this, because this number gets high and people always question this, our debt service is broken into interest and principal. Object 800 series is the interest piece of our debt. The 900 series, which is other uses of funds, would be any transfers that we make to other funds, or it would be our principal debt. So I went through those very, very quickly, but I'll give you time to read those, and it's just for your point of clarification. The other thing that I thought was important for you all to understand is the fund balance classification. This came up during our audit presentation, and you may have questions moving down the road about the fund balance classification. There's five classifications. Non-spendable. Those are areas that can't be spent because they're not in spendable form. So it's inventory or things that we've already prepaid. So those are not touchable. Restricted. These are amounts that are restricted for a specific purpose. Normally, bond funds are restricted for capital projects. Committed amounts. These are amounts that can only be used for specific purposes, and it's a formal action that's done by the school board. So if there's items that are committed that we have in our fund balance, right now we have capital projects and teasers in our fund balance classification. The only way to change that committed classification is through school board action. Assigned. These are intent to use funds for a specific purpose, but they're not restricted or committed, and they do not require school board action. Currently, we have building improvements assigned with our fund balance. Unassigned is spendable fund balance that has not been categorized as restricted, committed, or assigned. The school code limits the amount of unassigned fund balance to 8% of your budget. So I went through that very, very quickly, but I just wanted to kind of give you guys a preview so that you do have some understanding. And again, it's just for your reference material.
Question, Mr. Ingram.
I just want to say thank you. Very well done. You flew through it, but we have all these things. I cheated and looked at it earlier when you sent it, and this is just very good. And I think we should put it up on the website with a big link that says information about the budget process. Thank you.
I second that, too, especially it's so confusing. We see the hundreds here. What's it? And this gives you
the object.
A quick snapshot. You can have this as you're looking over the expenditure. Any other questions or comments?
No.
Oh, okay.
Thumbs up.
Quick question. What is the difference between the debt service on assigned the fund balance and interest expenses on the 800 series?
Say that again.
What's the difference between under the other objects, 800 series, is interest expense? Or there are categories for interest, and then under committed, under assigned for fund balance, it says debt service. What is the difference between those two?
Your objects are your actual general fund budget and your actual spend that you have in a fiscal year. So anything that's budgeted, we're paying that during the given fiscal year. So we're actually paying our debt service.
Right.
If you restrict, assign, or commit money from your fund balance to go towards debt service, basically what you're saying is that you're restricting additional money that has nothing to do with your general fund budget within those object series in a fiscal year. You're restricting that to be used for debt service purposes only.
So it's sort of like an unassigned debt service. It's debt service you haven't acquired yet.
Not necessarily. You can use it. Say you want to use your fund balance to pay for future debt, annual debt payments. It's just like the PESRs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's for future debt service, but you haven't assigned it yet to a specific debt.
Yes.
There's some balance sheet to income statement.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Board questions? Any public questions? All right, then we can move on to the update.
Okay, 16-17 budget update. We're providing the school board with the first look at revenue and expenditure detail. This is a very broad view of the budget for this go around. I just want to remind you that it is January. Our next formal action will be around May-ish is when we have to adopt the final proposed budget, so we have some time in between that. I just want to remind you as we start this conversation, okay? So, just wanted to kind of give a heads up on the Montgomery County trend for what was going on with the preliminary budget. There's 8 districts in Montgomery County that passed the Act 1 resolution that was similar to us. We are not included in that number, so we would be number 9. There were 10 districts that were going through the preliminary budget process so that they can apply for exceptions. It does not mean they will take exceptions, but they're putting it out there to see what they can get. revenue assumptions that are going into this budget. Real estate tax revenue. The estimated certified assessment value from the county was $1.8 billion. This is slightly down from last year. The revenue first look budget includes no additional tax revenue. So when you get the first look at the revenue budget, there is no tax increase built in. Just as a reminder, Act 1 index is 2.4. For us, that would mean a 1.068 mil increase, and it would generate an additional $1.9 million in tax revenue. Some other assumptions, and I alluded to this earlier in a budget presentation in November, I believe, was that doing a trend, looking at other local revenue, we have some increases in earned income tax and local services tax. So there were some slight increases on how I budgeted those based on our historical receipts. The other assumption, which big question marks, is the state and federal revenue. Right now, this budget reflects actual amounts received in 14-15. The only two that were adjusted were retirement and Social Security, because those are adjusted with contractual increases. And PlanCon is currently zeroed out. Again, just as a reminder, we get about $500,000 to $600,000 in PlanCon money if we receive that. During the revenue budget development, some of the drivers: increase in current and delinquent real estate tax collection rate. So let me just talk about this very briefly, because the previous slide I said our assessment overall went down. But one of the drivers is that I looked at the historical trend on our collection rate, and our collection rate, I was able to increase that based on previous budgets on what was budgeted, because our collection rate was higher. So we're trending about, I believe, 95.6% in a collection rate between current and delinquent real estate tax. Increase in earned income tax and local services tax. Some revenue variables is that assessment appeals are affecting our county assessment. Mm-hmm. And then our state funding is stagnant. We have the 15-16 state budget blue lined, and who knows what's going to happen with 16-17. Okay, so here is a quick snapshot of the first look of the revenue budget. Our 14-15 actual was 105-171, some change. That was presented in the audit. 15-16 budget, we're at 103.8, and then our first look at 16-17, we're at 105.5. One of the highlights here, you're going to see why is local jumping up that way and state going down. If you look on the bottom, local revenue includes anticipated property tax relief funding. The state does not certify gaming money until May. So historical practice is, when you're doing the calculation for real estate taxes, you include that gaming money in until the state certifies it, and then you put it back into the state budget. So it will flip-flop down. Right now, $3.6 million was added into the local from the prior year, along with the other increases, the slight increases that I did based on the revenue assumptions. So that's why you see such a spike, and then you see a little bit of a dip in the state revenue. So that will all balance out. And the board members that were here last year, you remember we talked about this a lot. It'll happen in May is when we'll readjust. Okay. Some expenditure budget development. Some of the expenditure drivers, obviously salaries and benefits account for a large portion of our budget. We have contractual obligations through wages, PESRs, and health care. Just if you did not hear, PESRs got certified at 30.03%. So just as a side note, the state does reimburse half of that, but that is a big jump from our 25.84 up to 30.03. This is supposed to be the last year of the spike. It should level off, even though it remains at 30%, still high.
Didn't we anticipate, wasn't there a previous number that was lower than
30.3%? Yes, it was 29.29.
Okay, and then it
got certified.
And it may continue to go up, though. Returns aren't really.
Okay. So some of the variables in the budget development on the expense side is that we're going through a strategic plan process. So right now, we don't know what initiatives will be coming out of that. Positioning ourselves for change and growth. We have a CEA contract that expires June 30th of 2016. And then we have facility maintenance through the master plan report that's coming out, and our ongoing capital expenditures. So this is a first snapshot of our expenses. You'll see our 14-15 actual was 101.5. Our 15-16 budget, 103.8. Our first look at total expenditures, 107.4. Just as a sidebar, new money for debt service for the Cedarbrook project has been built into this budget.
So what we've approved is included in here, the bond issue?
Yes. Because if moving forward, we will have to take out a bond this coming up, and it will affect the 16-17 budget. So that money has been built in that first year. Okay, so here's
questions after.
Here's a snapshot of kind of both things together. So you're seeing the revenue against total expenditures, and we have a budget gap of about 1.8, 1.9 million right now. Things that we're talking about as we move forward with this process is, again, position for change. Things that were included in the expense side, and again, we will get into more detail as we go through this budget process and we get into the details of the line items, but professional development and special education. As a reminder, we do have a special education audit that is coming up. Position for growth. Over the last couple of years, we've experienced growth in our elementary, so we'll have to take a look at that. Strategic plan, what initiatives are going to come out of that? One of the things that we've talked about heavily, and you know, when the start of the process started, was, you know, you can't have a strategic plan and put these pie in the sky ideas in there and then you don't have money to fund them. So it has to be realistic that you do match it. At this time, it's unknown because we just started that process, and then waiting for the master plan to see what our facilities and maintenance, ongoing maintenance, will be. So next steps in the budget. At the next meeting is anticipated that we will talk about, you'll have some detail for one-time and ongoing program revenue, discussion on closing the budget gap and how we're going to do that, getting a five-year general fund budget projection. Just so you know, if you're not familiar, we do utilize the PFM budget module. It's a five-year projection forecast model. So we do have that, and I'll update that as we move forward. And developing a five-year capital budget. That is something that we've talked about administratively, getting in place so that we start to have an idea of where we are with our debt service, where we are with capital reserve, and how we're going to move forward, because after Cedarbrook, there's ongoing capital projects that we need.
Was that a live shot from Harrisburg?
Yeah, it was.
Not working?
Yeah. The last thing was key dates to remember.
May 31st deadline? Screw that.
Sorry about that.
You went to detective. It's like the house, live from the house.
There is no such thing as live from the house. That's a misnomer.
Okay. May 31st is the deadline to adopt the proposed final budget. The target date to meet that deadline would be May 10th. That's our legislative meeting, so that would be the target date. We can do that before. June 30th is the deadline to adopt the final budget, and June 14th would be the latest because that's our legislative meeting. So I try to align our adoption dates with our legislative meetings. So those are key dates to remember.
All right, people. Questions from the board?
So we've got 6.1 million of the state's 20 million so far. Is that, do I have that right?
No. We've got 5.8.
Okay. But we're anticipating, okay, so.
We've got 9 of the 20.
Yes. 9 of the 20?
Okay.
Yeah. And based on the process up until now, are we going to get the rest of the 20? Or do you have any sense that we wouldn't?
I don't have any sense that we wouldn't. I mean, I think there's still deliberations on whether or not we're going to
get the question. Whether we get more is a question, but whether we get the 20 is not, generally. And I didn't understand when you said there was 500,000 in Plan Con money. My understanding of Plan Con has to do with capital building, and it, the building projects.
Yes.
So, the building projects have not all been paid for. We're still collecting money from PlanCon.
What happens is when you go, we're going through a PlanCon process right now with Cedar Brook. So
right.
You hear all these different letters. What happens is you go through this process with the state, and if you have an approved PlanCon project, they reimburse you at a percentage for the debt service that you take out to fund the project. So right now, we're at about $500,000 to $600,000 in getting reimbursement back from the state for all of our projects that we currently have that were approved PlanCon projects.
That we're currently debt servicing?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So it's an offset against our bond payment.
Other, Mr. Rockat.
Yeah, on page 34, just found it kind of interesting as a side note. The difference between the 15-16 budget and the first look 16-17 budget is approximately the same as the total increase in total expenditures. I know nothing is quite that simple, but the bottom line going from 103 to 107 is about the same as going from 24-9 to 28-3. And that's on the benefits line, which I assume is health care.
That's a big killer.
Is that healthcare, Brian?
Healthcare.
That's at 30.03, yeah. And the healthcare.
Yeah, just to give you, just so that you kind of have a visual, you know, a person that's at $140,000, you're paying $40-some thousand in PERS cost. So that kind of puts it in perspective on, you know, as a whole on where our payroll is and that getting hit with PERS. It's 30%. I mean, there's no other easy way to say
well,
that.
Well, it's totally out of whack with the economy. So, I mean, that's what happens when you have a line which is not totally incongruent with everything else in the world. It just makes no sense.
So I'm sorry, is that line, is that gross or is that reflect half of the money coming in from the state?
No, because the in the revenue side, the state reimbursement's there. So okay. It's gross.
Okay.
I had a quick question. On the 500 services, it went down $2 million this year, then it's going to go up another $2 million. Is there any particular...
Five hundred.
I was just looking why it was going back up again.
It goes from 12 to 10 to 12. Goes from 12 to 10 to 12.
Yeah. Yes. Was there anything in particular that's driving that to jump it back?
Transportation. Charter school payments, private school payments.
I mean, did it go down this year and then it's jumping back up? Or?
That was the expectation, yes, but
it's the budget.
If that line exceeds the $10 million that was expected, and it could, depending on placements and depending on where transportation costs land, yes.
Okay. Any other board questions?
Two comments. One, I want to thank our finance officer in terms of the 95% in collections. So thank you.
For $24,750.
Let's keep it. That's a good rate.
Well, as a board member, I'll take it. But in terms of the next steps, Ms. Michaels, what should we kind of anticipate for the next budget meeting? So in terms of the 101 program review, are we going to be looking at some projected program review costs, projections for next year in terms of the costs and expenditures?
One of the things that was requested in previous or discussed at a previous meeting or previous meetings was having an understanding of what's in our budget that is ongoing that we have to sustain and what is our one and done. Mm-hmm. That next year we might not need to use the money for that particular item and it can be redirected somewhere else. So an example of that is this year we built money into the general fund budget for the Elkins Park building improvements. So that obviously is not going to be needed to be put into 16-17 budget. That would be an example of an expenditure that is what we want to call a one-time expenditure. So it would be taking a look at a more detailed look at that and seeing that, and having a more detailed look at line items within the budget. I mean, it's kind of hard. I know grouping into salaries and benefits, it's kind of hard to see what's PESRs, what's healthcare, because you're seeing everything in one line item. So you'll have a more detailed look at those numbers.
Thank you.
Any other board questions? Go to the public.
Fred Milford, Elkins Park. Line item, line 800 is debt service?
That's a piece of debt service.
Okay, so just how does it go from 902 to 5.4 to 4.3?
In the past, there have been opportunities for us to prepay debt. So when you see the 8.484 and the 902, there was an opportunity to prepay debt in that fiscal year to offset some of the debt in the following year. So we utilized that practice over the last couple of years.
A couple months ago when they did the
That's different. That's a different mechanism.
So you're prepaying it because you're leveling out the...
Trying to, yes.
So you said you assumed the Cedar Brook. So you assumed $50 million or $55 million?
For me, just to be on the safe side, I assume 56.
Okay, and that's included in the 4.357?
That's included in the 8.2. Because your 800 and your 900 are your debt service.
Oh, so your principal's at 900 and your interest? Okay. Yeah. So that's included in those numbers?
Yes, it's about $1 million for 16-17. Regardless of how we smooth it out, the plan is to borrow $30 million. That will affect the 16-17 budget. And then, yes, however we need to smooth it out, we will. But based on the refunding that we did in December, and the savings that we got, for 16-17, the savings wasn't that great, but it's smoothed down, yes. And that's what we're trying to do, is anticipate to be able to absorb that annual debt service payment. But it is included, that money is built in there.
Just to follow up on the refunding, didn't it turn out we're saving around $3 million, but that'll be over a 20-year period.
Over the life of the bond, yes. And what PFM did, it was actually a really good thing. I think we were supposed to get 1.7, it ended up $4 million, so we hit interest rates and the market perfectly. So it was a really good exercise, and the way that we did it, by bundling the four, it turned out great. So what PFM did when he was smoothing out the savings is I was working with him on the Cedar Brook piece of it, so he understood kind of the ballpark on where we were going to land, and what he did was try to smooth out the savings piece and allocate that so that we can absorb the new money without hitting a $12 million the annual debt service payment.
Great.
Kara, on the revenue numbers, which you went through quickly, it looked like there was an increase from 15 to 16 without any tax increase. Is that correct?
It's twofold there, yes. At a previous presentation that I did, looking at historical trend on our revenue and where we budgeted and what we actually collected.
Okay.
In previous budgets, the real estate number had a lower collection rate. So looking at the trend of that, I was able to increase the collection rate, which increases the amount of taxes we can budget for in a fiscal year without raising taxes. The other piece was our EIT and our local services. Looking at the trend and what our collection was, we experienced growth there. So I believe it was an additional $800,000+ that I added to our budget of 103. Our revenue budget of 103. The other piece of that with that jump is the gaming money, $3.6 million. It normally is reflected in the state line item. However, that money does not get certified until May.
So there was no increase in, was there an increase in EIT or LST in that number?
Yes.
Okay.
Slight.
Okay.
What's LST?
Local service tax, only about $50,000, mm-hmm. So that's de minimis. I'm not sure that EIT is going to increase. because there are a number of factors going on. We have some businesses that have closed. We have your business privilege tax revenues are probably going to be down because the Pathmark closed. Lincoln Financial, Lincoln Investment, where they are, they're moving out of the township, so you know, lose all that BPD.
I just want to interject and say, comparing it to what we had budgeted in the past, compared to collections, I was comfortable enough to increase our budgeted amount.
Okay. I can tell you the township did not increase the amounts for that in the budget this year, because that was the township's assessment that they really should, that it was prudent not to increase projected revenues for those, for LST and DPD. By LST and EID.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you once again for your professional presentation, Ms. Michaels. And do I have a motion for adjournment?
So moved.
I assume everybody's in favor?
Aye.
All right. Mike.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivation 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.